Does that make some sense? Yeah. And so that's what happens with Peter. These are the same lines of what's happening. These are the same divine walls. So it's not totally clear to us if this happens before or after. My sense is that this is something that there's that person over there. Is that a person that we know? Person with the red hair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you tell me more?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm really glad you're here. I'd be in soup's trouble.
That one's oh, hold on. I actually got to stare at her for a minute.
Oh, dude.
So not clutch.
Once she walks up, then I'll be able to tell.
So much non-clutchness.
Once she walks up, I'll be able to tell. As soon as she says hi, I can tell between
us. So much non-clutchness.
I'm pretty sure it's Alex, but...
Hey, Alex.
You can tell, like, how they stand and stuff. They just, like, act differently a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I'm really glad you're here.
That was hilarious. Hey! Hey, Alex? And she's like, Taylor. Dang it.
Yeah. And then it was great, because I went to the other one. I'm like, hey, Alex! And she's like, hey, you got it right. How'd you do that? I'm like, because I got the other one wrong.
Okay.
So anyway, so that's the same fault line. It's a bit kind of, yeah. So, it seems, I think, what's most likely is that what's happening now is happening after the Cornelius thing. And so you would think that Peter should totally get this by now. But some people come from James and saying, hey, dude, what are you doing? Some associates with Jewish guys, and I'm like, dude, you're eating with the Gentiles? Don't you know that's a huge deal? Like, what's going on? And so Peter goes... And I don't know if Peter just not wanting to like start like a big fight or something like this, but he's like, okay. Like, so he goes and he withdraws. Paul gets pretty chipped off at him at this point. Because I think that as far as what Paul is understanding, like what is actually happening in the gospel, what's fundamental to it, the truth of the gospel, is assuming that's for all people. It's not for a specific group of people. This has altered, this will use cosmos all the time. This has changed the entire cosmos. Like the whole world. So where are we?
Where are you?
What the heck are you doing? You're so silly.
I love you.
So before this is repeating. So before James came with the nations, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing the ones from circumcision. Now that could just be the Jews. That could just be plain old, hey, he's afraid the Jews are going to come and, like, whack him with a machete because he's supposed to be Jewish. He's eating with the Gentiles. That's undermining Judaism. He's afraid of these guys. He doesn't feel like it's his time to have his head chopped off. And so he's going to go and, you know, not try to make a big deal over this. What Paul's going to say is, nope, we have to make a big deal over this. So this is literally what you have is... Kai soon hypocritheson. So soon together hypocritheson. Like the verb that's there is hypocrinomai, which is where we get hypocrisy from. So soon together hypocritheson. Like together they were being hypocritical, you could say. They're being also together hypocritical with him, the rest of the Jews, so that also or even Barnabas was caught up. Was taken up with them in hypocrisy. So even Barnabas, so Paul is at this point is like the last guy that's standing. Everybody else is like, okay, we don't want to piss off the Jews, so we're just going to go and separate, because that's what we're used to doing, that's what we've been doing for thousands of years. So we'll just go and separate. Paul, again, he's got some insight here. He's saying, no, this is a big deal. This is fundamental. But when I saw that not they were walking correctly according to the truth of the gospel. Again, this is fundamental to the truth of the gospel, whatever this is. I said to Kephas, so to Rock guy, Rockos, before everyone, if you, a Jew being ethnikos, which is like a Gentile, also not, like a Gentile and not like a Jew, iudaikos. So this is literally, remember, os at the end is like an ly. So if you, living or existing Gentilely and not Jewly. That sounds super bad, but that's the most literal translation I can give. Jewly. Are living. How the nations or the Gentiles you are compelling to Judaize, to become Jews, literally. So what he's saying is, and again, I think this makes sense in the context, how are you compelling the Jews to live, or sorry, the Gentiles to live as Jews, if right now you yourself, by your own life, you're not following the Torah the same way anymore? You yourself, you're not saying that all of this Torah is binding for us anymore, because the period has changed. We're in a new time right now. So if you yourself recognize that, why are you saying that they needed to go by the old rules? These are the old rules, the old way that stuff works. Why are we holding this? And why are we letting the fact that other people don't know what time it is influence us?
What's up, Alex? How are you?
No, you're good.
What's up?
What's going on?
So he's saying that, like, that huge deal out of this?
For me, it's not that much of a concern because both of those things are true. So, I'm actually just going to skip over it.
Just acknowledge that they're both true and continue on.
Exactly. There's ambiguity in the language. There's no way around it. This language is ambiguous. I feel like we get to a point here where we have to sort of play the providence card and say, look, the Lord knows the text we have in the scripture. The Lord knows that what we have right here is ambiguous. The Lord also knows that both of these things are true and can be affirmed elsewhere in scripture. So I think because of that, I don't think that we should lose just tons of sleep over this. Anyway, so we'll just keep going. I'll just skip over it and have him say that. Except through the faithfulness, the faith of Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, and we, in Christ Jesus, so in the Messiah Jesus, again, not his last name, but in the Messiah Jesus, have trusted, we have entrusted ourselves to the Messiah Jesus, in order that we might be justified through faith, or through the faithfulness of Christ, or in Christ, and not through works of the law. You're already seeing the number of ways this can go. Not through works of the law. For, from works of the law, and again, when we're saying law there, I think that we have to say Torah and not a general law. Through the works of the Torah, no flesh will be justified. Here's another thing I'm going to flag for you. I'm not going to spend tons of time on it because it's difficult. The traditional, you might say, view of justified here would probably be the actual process of making one righteous. Righteousizing, you could say. Which makes sense because the word for righteousness and justice is the same word in Greek. Righteousness, justice. We tend to divide those into two categories. It's just the exact same word in Greek. If you're reading the Bible in French, for instance, we will usually translate something like righteousness of God. In French, it's justice of God, which is just the word for justice. So we can't have a hard divide there. Does this mean that God is declaring somebody righteous, just saying, I forgive you? Or is this the actual process by which God makes somebody righteous? It's through trusting in Christ. I think that both of those things are true. It's hard to say, but if you get into kind of sort of big debates on justification, which has been tons and tons of those of late, that's where the crux in which a lot of that stuff will stand. Again, I'm just going to skip over that because I think both of those things are true. So I'm going to skip over it. And let the broader context that's around us help us have understanding of what's going on here. So now, if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we were found also ourselves to be sinners. Again, I think here you want to keep the quotation marks. Does it have quotation marks there? To be sinners? 17? Okay. I think it's important that you keep the quotation marks the whole way here. So if we, and so being sinners is, I think you can say that's equated with being Gentiles. If we, while being sought to be justified in Christ Jesus, in Christ, we were found ourselves to be sinners, i.e. to be Gentiles. This is the thing where that the guy who taught the course, this is like we both have this kind of intuition. If we're found to be sinners, and then we're not obeying the Torah, we're not Torah people, we're Gentiles, because we're seeking to be justified in Christ and not because of the Torah. So if while seeking to be justified in Christ, we were found also ourselves to be sinners, then is Christ a servant of sin? And then the answer is, of course not. May it never be. For if that which I destroyed, that which I brought down, these things, again, I build up, a transgressor of the law, or a transgressor, I demonstrate myself to be. So, here's the idea. If you have the Torah here, here's the Torah. We're saying, okay, the fulfillment of the Torah in Romans, Paul puts this really succinctly, says, telos gar namu Christos. For the fulfillment, the telos, of the Torah is Christ. So what the law is pointing to is the Messiah, is Christ. And so if we acknowledge that, we say, now we're being justified in Christ, in the Messiah, because this is what the law was pointing to. And then we go and say, oh, wait, change of plans. Now we're going back and we're building the Torah back up. We're actually just saying we've been a transgressor, because we're saying, hey, we got it wrong. We messed it up. We should have been doing this the whole time. So that's what Paul is saying there. If I build this thing up again that I brought down, I'm showing myself to be a transgressor. But I, again, this is, we're going to do some language here where we could take forever trying to say what exactly this means. I'm just going to read it and let the word speak. For I, through the Torah, died to the Torah, in order that to God I might live. With Christ, I am crucified together. Sunestaudomai. So, together crucified. With Christ, I am crucified together. Now, I live no longer I myself, but lives in me Christ. The Messiah now lives in me. That which now I live in the flesh, in faith, in faithfulness, in trust, however you want to say this, or you can say, you can take this as, when it says in here, you can take this by faith, by faithfulness. I think that works really well with the in. So, by faith, by trust, I live to the Son of God, to the one who loved me and gave himself over, so who literally betrayed himself, gave himself over, on behalf of me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if through the law is righteousness or justice, then Christ for nothing died. No, that's okay. Welcome to Jell-O. We've been swimming in Jell-O. I think that what Paul is saying is this. Within this old framework, this is how it works. You've got Jews, you've got Gentiles. Within the fulfilled framework, there's only one people. And that one people, that is God's people, is those that have been crucified with Christ. And so, you know what? You might be saying, hey, I'm a Jew, or hey, I'm a Gentile sinner. You know what really matters? Whether or not I have been crucified with Christ. That's the category that matters. So we're making category distinctions that God doesn't place a whole lot of value in, because Christ has come. And so, this gets to who I am as a human being at this point. This is like, I'm not even living anymore. So, Jew, Gentile, let's put that to the side. I've been crucified with Christ. I don't even live anymore. It's Christ that lives in me. This is the fundamental distinction that God is, if you want to say, hey, if I'm making a distinction between two people or not, it's crucified with Christ or not. That's the thing, and not the Jew-Gentile thing that's there. So he's saying, look, Peter, you're looking at this on kind of surface human level, and there is a deeper level that God is concerned about. That's the fundamental thing. You can almost say the interior thing that's there. Have we interiorly been crucified with Christ or not? That's fundamental. Not the outward, did you get, you know, someone come at you with some scissors. Does that make sense?
So he's
coming at a deep level saying, this is the thing that God's really after. Again, I think if we look at this with analogies that we have elsewhere in Paul, I think it's helpful. If you look at kind of in Romans 9, it seems like what Paul is doing is he's saying, what the Jews have done is they have focused on the outward sign. They focus on the outward signs that were there, but those things were only meant to seal the inward thing, and God was after the inward thing the whole time, so like we talked about in the Romans class. So it's not about the sign, it's not about the seal, it's about the thing that's inside. It's about the thing that's the interior thing towards God. And so the Jews, their focus is the outward thing. Do they have the sign? Do they have the circumcision thing?
When you say the outward seals the inward, you mean like, because like through Christ your heart has changed, like your personality has changed,
yeah.
And your actions reflect that.
Yeah.
So your actions seal what's the change in you.
Yeah.
God's like, well, yeah, like your actions are cool, but what I'm looking for is like the fact that your heart has changed.
Right, right. It's not just the actions
of the law specifically.
Yeah. So that's specifically what it's talking about here. So the actions of the law would be, again, this is Torah, this is circumcision. And this is the thing that, if you're a Jew, this is what they're looking for. They're not necessarily looking at, I think this is where Luther goes wrong, is he's thinking they're looking for good works or not good works. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so because of that, he's not able to keep James in the scripture. That's fundamentally what it comes down to. What's going on within that context is the Jews are saying, are they Jew or are they not a Jew? That's what it comes down to, because the Jews are God's people. And so if they have the circumcision thing done, they're cool, because they're identifying themselves with God's people. If not, they have to be on the outside, because they're unclean. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And what Paul is saying is, I'm going to give myself a middle finger to that, because that's not how it works. Because God is the God of all people. And that's what Peter realizes too with Cornelius, and even if it's, you know, evidently taking a while for this, again, it's such a radical change that it's taking time for it to go into, you know, to sort of click in with Peter, I guess you could say. So it's taking it to a deeper level, not just saying looking at this outward thing, it's looking at the interior thing. And then that interior thing is the thing that God is after. It's not to say that works don't matter in general, because our works, whether good or otherwise, they are ultimately a product of that interior trust towards God or away from God. So it's either...
That's what he's just James. Yeah, so he's just kind of putting priority to like what matters more is like what's...
He's saying that this is the root thing.
But yeah, like this, not this, that it's not, like...
And not circumcision, and not eating certain foods.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
not that.
Exactly.
And not that that's not unimportant, but like what like I'm really after.
Yeah, yeah. Now I think that there is a... I think that we get to a point where I think that there's a sense in which Paul would agree with Luther in that if you're saying that, hey, everybody, just go do a bunch of good works. Well, I think you've misunderstood what the human condition is. I think that the human condition is, do I trust God or not? If I say, hey, I need to do this work or do that work, I think I'm misunderstanding what God's like and what he wants from us. Because he doesn't want us to follow rules and regulations. He doesn't want us to go and do this, don't do this. There are certainly things that he wants us to do and not do. But he wants us to do those things as a product of trusting in him. Because it is possible to go, and like James says, it's possible to go and feed widows and orphans and to still have a... to still not completely have what God is after. It's possible to do good works, but do them in a way where one's heart is not inclined towards God, where it's not the product of a real thing that's there. You want to be careful with that, because good works, I think that, you know, there's certainly people that have come to faith by participating in things like that, and seeing that, you know, there's something compelling about, you know, feeding widows and orphans. And so I think that it can work two ways. But at least as far as that goes, I think that what Luther says has value. I just don't think it's exactly what Paul's talking about. I think that's important to recognize. That make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other questions on sort of what we just covered?
That's the thickest section.
I think that rather than kind of trying to understand what comes from it.